this morning, we'd like you to take your scriptures, if you would, and turn along with us to Romans chapter 11 and verse 25. Romans 11, verse 25. As we consider Bible truth, I believe every child of God ought to be interested in all areas of the Scriptures. Whether we would be studying a portion of Scripture on creation, or of the prophets, or concerning the life of our Lord Jesus Christ on earth, or whether we would even turn our attention to the heavenly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is contained in the Pauline revelation, I believe we should search the Scriptures diligently, that we should desire to have an understanding of all areas of the living Word of God. And whatever subject area we may be studying, we should be desiring to put ourselves into it, to study and read the words very carefully, to see what God the Holy Spirit is ministering to our hearts. And, you know, beloved ones, we should be building up a storehouse of knowledge concerning these great spiritual truths, for indeed they have eternal weight connected to them. The Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that in the last days, and he's referring to the last days of this dispensation, he says, perilous times shall come when men shall be lovers of their own selves. And as we consider that portion, which primarily is referring to the world and the world system as Paul is addressing, we see that many things of the world have crept into the church, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have been greatly influenced by the affairs and practices of this world system. And Paul says in the last days, men are going to be lovers of their own selves. And indeed, we are living probably in one of the first generation of selfish Christians. Christians just do not have time any longer for one another, or even for many things of the things of God's Word. And we see that they sacrifice for everything else and every other purpose, but they will not sacrifice for the cause and the purpose of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is time and money for all purposes in life, but when it comes to the local assembly, and when it comes to the church and the Lord and His Word, there is no time or no money to be devoted. And this is something that we need to examine our lives so very carefully with this morning. Now, this might not be so true of this assembly. I think we've done well financially. And I think many of you brethren have given time over to the Word of God to have an understanding of this blessed revelation of the mystery that is contained in the Pauline revelation. But that might only be said of us in part. Maybe there are some of us here who need to devote more time and more effort in the spiritual things of God's Word. How we need to realize that the affairs of this world and the circumstances of this life are fading and failing and passing away. Only those things that are done for Christ and the cause of Christ will have lasting value connected with them. I have done many studies, vast studies, of the men of God and of the women of God in past generations in this dispensation. And you ought to study their lives, possibly. It's been such an encouragement to me, where they devoted their whole lives, many of them, to study the Scriptures and to write on the Scriptures, to have the interpretation just right. And they would pray many times, hours and hours over the Scriptures. There's one that comes to mind, a man by the name of G. Campbell Morgan. a great Bible expositor in days gone by, and he has written a wonderful commentary on the four Gospels and even on many of the Pauline revelation. And concerning the book of Matthew, he read that every day for 1 year before he even began to write on the subject that is contained in the book of Matthew. Beloved ones, that's devotion. That is putting time into the spiritual things of God's Word. And this is what we'd like to encourage you with this morning, that you spend time with the Lord in prayer and in meditation of His Word, that you seek to have an understanding of dispensationalism and the Word of God rightly divided. Our Lord said, "Seek the truth, and the truth will set you free." There is something concerning the study of the Word of God that brings joy to our hearts, that we know the Lord and we know His will for our lives and for this dispensation in which we are living. We are to see that there are two major programs in God's Word, the prophetic program, which was primarily to Israel, and the mystery program, which was primarily to the Gentiles, to the church, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we read in verse 25, as we continue on in our study of the seven Pauline mysteries, we come to the sixth part. You'll recall that to the Apostle Paul, the Lord Jesus Christ in His heavenly ministry dispensed to him what we call the mystery program, or even as Paul writes in Romans 16:25, concerning the revelation of the mystery. The mystery is a program that was kept hidden and secret from ages and generations past, first revealed to the Apostle Paul, and now he is dispensing it to us in his written epistles, Romans through Hebrews. And so as we look at the great mystery program for the church, the body of Jesus Christ today, there are seven different segments that make up that mystery program, and also, of course, there would be other related truths. But on the sixth part, we read in verse 25, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." Here we have the mystery of the duration of Israel's blindness, and also the mystery of the fullness of the Gentiles. This mystery contained in verse 25 has two segments connected to it. It is in two parts or two sections. And so as we consider this phrase, the times of the, or the fullness of the Gentiles, we would seek an understanding from God's Word. Now, as we look at the Bible rightly divided, and as we study dispensationalism, we must keep separated, as we rightly divide the Word of Truth, God's prophetic program from His mystery program. One of the greatest problems we have in the church today is that Christians who are not rightly dividing the Word of Truth take the law program and the grace program and they mingle them all together. So what we have then is kingdom truth under the Lord's earthly ministry, and we have body truth under the Lord's heavenly ministry, all confused together. And as a result of that, the saints, many of them, have been dismayed. Why? Many of the promises have not been fulfilled in the four Gospels or in the early part of the book of Acts. It's because we must come to the Apostle Paul and his revelation for truth today. Now, as we look at this phrase, dispensationally, the fullness of the Gentiles, I would like for you to understand that there is a similar phrase found in the prophetic program. In the prophetic program, there is a mention of the times of the Gentiles by our Lord, and here by the Apostle Paul, we have the fullness of the Gentiles. And as you study the scriptures, you need to realize there is a difference in definition between these two great phrases. There's two great dispensational truths we need to see this morning. Well, let's go back under the prophetic program momentarily and examine the first, the times of the Gentiles. Luke chapter 21, verse 24. In Luke 21, verse 24, "And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." So as we look at our Lord's earthly ministry, as we examine here prophecy, as he is speaking and addressing his 12 disciples, who were Jews, he's addressing solely the nation of Israel. And he gives a prophecy here concerning the times of the Gentiles, that the nation of Israel and Jerusalem shall be trodden down until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. So as we look at this portion of Scripture, we need to establish what did our Lord mean when he spoke concerning the times of the Gentiles. Well, as we would go to prophecy in the book of Daniel, chapter 2 or chapter 7, we would see that the times of the Gentiles are spoken there of as well. And we see that the times of the Gentiles primarily refers to the Gentile domination of the land of Israel. As we would look at this time period, we see that the times of the Gentiles began with the reign of King Nebuchadnezzar, who was the great emperor of the kingdom of Babylon, about 586 B.C. So what Nebuchadnezzar had done, he had gone to Jerusalem, he had taken captive the nation of Israel, and he has brought the nation of Israel into what we call the Babylonian captivity. And that would have been 586 B.C. And so this would begin the times of the Gentiles. And from Daniel chapter 2, we see that the Lord, in his infinite wisdom, actually maps out history in the Gentile world for all time up to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first great world empire was Babylon. And then after Babylon fell, we see that the next great world empire was Media Persia. And then after that would have been the Grecian Empire, as even history bears out, under Alexander the Great. And then finally, the consummation of the times of the Gentiles was to end under the reign of the Antichrist kingdom. And so as we look at the prophetic scriptures and the Gentile domination of the land, the Lord is saying here, from the time of the Babylonian captivity until the Antichrist kingdom, in the prophetic scriptures and according to the prophetic time clock, the Gentiles shall dominate the land of Israel. They shall own parts of it. They shall rule over that land and over the holy city. Now, it is somewhat rather unfortunate the order that our Bible has been given to us. In the Protestant Reformation, the reformers who were compiling and putting together the King James translation followed the Catholic order of our Old Testament books. And so we have the beginning in Genesis, and the last book of the Old Testament would be Malachi, as it is generally held. But if they only would have followed the Hebrew order of the Hebrew Bible begins in Genesis and it ends with 2 Chronicles. And if you read the last chapter of 2 Chronicles, you would witness the nation of Israel being taken off into captivity under the Babylonian people, which begins the times of the Gentiles. And from that point on, we see a Gentile denomination or dominion over the nation of Israel. Now, this dispensation in which we are living, of course, is parenthetical. We see that we have been called out by the Lord God, and that we are members of the church, the body of Jesus Christ, and really we are not partakers of Israel or partakers of the prophetic program. But nonetheless, it is so wonderful to see the depth of the wisdom and knowledge of God that this dispensation really does not contradict, does it, with the times of the Gentiles, because we see that the Gentile nations still have dominion over the land of Israel. Israel, even in this dispensation, has not had full possession of the land that is rightfully hers. If you were to study Genesis chapter 15, or the book of Exodus, or the book of Numbers, you actually have the boundaries of the land that God originally promised to that chosen nation. We see that the land was to extend in the south to the Nile, which is in Egypt. The western border was the Mediterranean, the northern border was Syria, and the eastern border was the River Jordan, but she even possesses land beyond the Jordan, clear to the Euphrates. And it is somewhat vague of that eastern border that she possibly even owns more than that to the east. And so we can see the great vastness of the land that God has promised to the nation of Israel. Do you realize that in the scriptures, the nation of Israel was the only one that was given a possession on the earth? She is the only one that can say that that land is rightfully hers. We can't say that as Americans here on the United States, and here on the earth that we're standing on. We can't say that we own this. Humanly speaking, we can say that, but God did not give this to us, and we must remember that the earth is the Lord's in the fullness thereof, and He gives it to whomsoever He pleases. And the only piece of real estate that God has given to any nation was to the nation of Israel in that promised land, and of course we'll share, or I should say the Gentiles in the future will share in the blessings of Israel and inhabit the earth. So here then we have the times of the Gentiles. Now when will the times of the Gentiles end according to prophecy? Well, if you read on in verse 25, here we read, "And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, and the sea and the waves roaring, men's heart failing in them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall they see the coming of the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." When will Israel be under and lifted off from the yoke of the Gentile domination? It will be when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back there in the battle of Armageddon, and He fights for His chosen nation, and He slays all the nations of the world that are rebelling against Israel, and then He shall establish that 1,000-year millennial kingdom. And when that 1,000-year millennial kingdom begins, the times of the Gentiles will conclude at that point. So as we look at the nation of Israel today, while she's enjoying a little rest and peace in just a little part of the land that belongs to her, we see that even in the future, after we're gone in the rapture, that the Gentiles shall trodden her down underfoot, and she shall lose the blessed city of Jerusalem again, and once again the Gentiles will have full dominion of that land until the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So dispensationally, we call this the times of the Gentiles, and it refers to prophecy and primarily to the Gentile nations in their relation to Israel in prophecy. But now let's turn over to Romans chapter 11. As we come to Romans chapter 11 and verse 25, Paul says, "For I would not have you, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery." And here the Apostle Paul begins to address the subject of the fullness of the Gentiles. And you must not confuse these two phrases, the times of the Gentiles and the fullness of the Gentiles. Now we're in the Pauline revelation. Now we're in that mystery program that was kept hidden and secret from the prophets and the apostles in days gone by before the Apostle Paul. This is a new revelation that is being given to the apostle to the Gentiles, the Apostle Paul. And notice what he instructs us right here, brethren. He's speaking to you and to me this morning as Gentiles. For he says, "I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery." There are six times in the Pauline revelation where Paul desires that they would not be ignorant of something, and it's always in relation to a major doctrine. Now, ignorance is not stupidity, brethren. Ignorance is something that would be, in a sense, that something that's unlearned, something that has not been fully understood. And so as Paul is addressing you and me as members of his body, the body of Christ, we see that he wouldn't have us to be ignorant of this mystery, that blindness in part is come upon the nation of Israel, and it will be until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. But you know, there is a great ignorance among members of the body of Christ to this great truth that was revealed now nearly 2,000 years ago. Every time you hear someone say that Israel is possessing the land that God has given her today, and that God is working through the nation of Israel today to fulfill prophecy, they are showing their ignorance to this blessed mystery that the Apostle Paul revealed. God is not working among his chosen people, Israel, today. We see that they rebelled and rejected his counsel and his Messiah that he sent to them, and he has set the nation of Israel aside in unbelief. And Paul says that this is a part of the mystery. Why, you could go back to the Old Testament and you can see various falls of the nation of Israel and various captivities and judgments that come on Israel and even judgments that lie yet future. But this blindness that has come on Israel is nowhere foretold in the prophetic scriptures by the prophecy or the prophets. Here we have the scriptures of the Apostle Paul that said this was a part of the great secret program, that there is to be blindness in part among the nation of Israel because of her rejection of the truth. And notice what that blindness means to you and to me this morning. If you look with me at verse 11 of chapter 11, "I say then, have they stumbled," that is Israel, "that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy." So here we can get down on our knees before God and thank him for the unsearchable riches of Christ and the blindness and judgment that has come upon that nation because of her blindness and because of her fall. Do you know what God has done? He has turned his attention to the Gentile nations. He has set Israel aside, and he's turned his attention to the Gentile nations. And now the Apostle Paul tells us that now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And we see that we must respond today to the gospel of salvation. Why, you cannot respond to it yesterday, now, because yesterday is gone. It is past. and we cannot respond to it in the future if you're here and unsaved this morning as a Gentile, because you see, the rapture might take place and then you'd be under the judgment and wrath of God. This is why Paul says, now is the day of salvation. You need to respond at this very hour. Possibly you're a Gentile in this room or even a Jew. We see that there's no distinction, no difference between the Jew and the Gentile today in God's eyes. He sees them all in one level line. He looks at the nations not as nations today, but he looks at the individuals in that nation. He's looking at an individual and saying to them, you need Christ. You are a sinner, and you need my grace to save you. Respond to the gospel and be saved. And so here then, as we look at the first part of this mystery here in this section, Paul says, oh, don't be ignorant, Gentile individuals. He says you must realize that it was by God's grace that the gospels even come to you, and it was through the fall of Israel. And here we can see a great difference between the prophetic mystery program and the mystery program. Under the prophetic program, there was a provision for the Gentiles. Why, you go home and read Isaiah chapter 60, and we see where it states, arise, the nation of Israel, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light. And so in prophecy, there was a provision made for the Gentile nations, but it was through the rise of that chosen nation of God, when she came to the light and knowledge of her Messiah, then she would shine it around the world to the Gentile nations, and they actually would be saved through her. But you know, when we come to this mystery that Paul is referring to here, we see that the Gentiles today, that you and me, are being saved in spite of the nation of Israel. Why did you have to go to Jerusalem and seek out a Hebrew individual for them to give you the gospel? By no means. We open the scriptures today in the Pauline revelation, and we preach the gospel that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Believe that, and you can be saved by the grace of God. And so here then, we can rejoice in this mystery that because of the fall of Israel, we have had an opportunity to be saved and to be a part of the church, the body of Jesus Christ. But notice, there's a second part of this mystery as it goes on, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So here we have that dispensational phrase, only found here, only found in the Pauline revelation, that the mystery is concerning also the fullness of the Gentiles. Now, what is our fullness? Well, before we consider our fullness as members of the body of Christ, let's look back over to verse 12 a moment, where it says, now if the fall of them, Israel, be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them, the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? In verse 12, the Apostle Paul refers to the fullness of the nation of Israel. And if we understand from prophecy what her fullness is, then we'll understand what verse 25 means concerning the fullness of the Gentiles. As we look back to Israel, when she will have her fullness, the thing that she had hope in and that she was trusting in was that the Lord would bring her through that dreaded tribulation period to that great millennial hope. In the millennium, when they begin to enter into that time of peace and joy in the Lord for 1,000 years, that will actually, literally, be the fullness of the nation of Israel. So that is the purpose of the prophetic program with Israel. God is purposing to bring her to her fullness and take her into that kingdom. So if we understand that, now as we change dispensations and we bring now the fullness to the Gentiles here in verse 25, that it's to be until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. It's referring to God's purpose for the body of Christ. Isn't that wonderful? And what is that? What does that mean to you and to me? What is God bringing us to? Why isn't he bringing us to the point where he is going to rapture us home to be with him, that we might go in the rapture and enjoy that heavenly hope that we have in Christ Jesus? Why, that's the fullness of the Gentiles, a completion of purpose. And, of course, there is a completion of number of the body of Christ as well. They're coming together. We have God completing the purpose where he's going to take us home, and at the same time there are people being saved, making up the body of Christ. When it's completed, they'll come together, and he'll take us home to fulfill the ultimate purpose of the rapture. Now, as we look at the fullness of Israel, just to back up for a few moments, Israel gloried, and she boasted in the Lord in the fullness that she would enjoy. She was to rule the earth, and she gloried and boasted in the Lord in that. Where they found themselves getting in the problems, whereas when they began to individually boast in themselves as a nation, that they really thought they were something. But when they were glorying and rejoicing in the Lord concerning him fulfilling that purpose on the earth, they were within the will of the Lord. Now, as we would see Israel rejoicing in her hope and fulfillment of her purpose, shouldn't we even the more, being under the gospel of the grace of God, saved by God's grace, be rejoicing in the fulfillment of purpose for us as members of the body of Christ? Why, indeed, we should be rejoicing in the Lord and glorying in him that he will, in the end, literally take us home to be with him, and we shall reign in the heavenlies. Israel in her fullness will reign and rule the whole earth from Jerusalem. But in the fulfillment of the time of the Gentiles here, now let me get the term right, of the fullness of the Gentiles, we shall rule the heavenlies. Why, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 a moment. In 1 Corinthians 6, the Apostle Paul had some strong words for the Corinthians. And, of course, they were a carnal church. And he says, "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to the law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are not ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters?" Verse 3, "Know ye not that ye shall judge angels, how much more things that pertaineth to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to the judge, who are least esteemed in the church. I speak this to your shame." Here the Corinthians were having difficulties with one another concerning legal matters, and so Paul says, "Dare any of you go before the unjust?" He points right back to them, and he says, if you're a saint of God, he says, don't you realize that in the fulfillment of the purpose that God has for us, that when he takes you home to be with him, you'll be seated with Christ in the heavenlies. And you're to realize that you shall judge the world. At the white throne judgment, we are going to be judging the unsaved who stand before the white throne of God. And it even goes on further here. We shall even judge angels. Now, I can't fully comprehend that. I can't comprehend how we're going to have the knowledge to judge angels. But then we shall have full knowledge, the mind of Christ set before us. And so then, beloved ones, as we look at our scriptures, I trust you see the need of rightly dividing the two programs. The times of the Gentiles refer to the Gentile domination over the land of Israel, which will be until the second coming of Christ. The fullness of the Gentiles refers to a completion of purpose, which we are looking forward to as members of his body, where we shall be seated with him in the heavenlies, and where we shall judge in the heavenlies both men and angels. And so, as we conclude this morning, Possibly there's one here who slipped in among us who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And we want you to be a part of this hope. We want you to be a part of the fullness of the Gentiles. And so we would so desire and beg you to consider your lost state at this very moment. You know, I wouldn't walk through that back door this morning unless I knew I was right with God. And you need to ask yourself that question. Are you right with God? If you were to die at this very moment, would you spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ? If you have to question that in your heart, or if you're not sure of that, or possibly you're trusting in some good work or some church that you've been attending, oh, how we turn you to the Scriptures, the living Word of God, which is the final authorities in all matters, because this is the book of truth. You can go to no other book in the universe to find the truth that God gives to us here. Here you have the mind of God. He shows us the state of man, and that state is a sinful state. He shows us how we are dead spiritually and separated from Him. And thirdly, He shows us how we are in need of a Savior. And we beg you this morning to come to the foot of Calvary's cross and respond to that blessed gospel. Remember, now is the day of salvation. Don't put off that decision. It's the most important one you will make in your entire life. You may go out that door, and I've said this before, and never come back again. You may die this week or today even. And many who have thought so foolishly that it can't happen to me, beloved, you need to go around the area and drive by the cemeteries. It's happened to others. It shall happen to us. Are you prepared for eternity at this moment? Have you believed the gospel that the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins on the cross and that He was buried and He rose again the third day? If you'll believe that, God will save you by His grace and you will have eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll be a part of the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. What a blessing it would be to have you to be a part of that with us. Let's close in prayer. Our kind and gracious, loving Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for the riches of Thy grace. And Lord, we just pray that we might have a dispensational grasp of the Bible. The Bible is so beautifully set before us, no contradictions, but it needs to be sought after and studied. We need to devote time and energy that we might understand Thy will for this dispensation. Father, we pray that You would help us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. For we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.